Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the Joe Aitken. Happy spring. Things are busting a groove here in Colorado. Joe, what about you? How are things in Michigan?
Well, good to be back. It seems like we just had the podcast. You know, it's such a highlight to meet up with you and start talking. So it just seems like it was yesterday. But, you know, you talked about the spring in Colorado. I know you didn't have snow that much long ago, but I think we've already went right to summer. So mid to high 80s into the 90s, and everything's green and it's great. And the business right now in the green industry and forestry is just jumping. And it's a very busy time of the year, but it's a very exciting time of the year for me. I love it. I love the rush. I love the being busy.
So, I do too. Yeah, and I love seeing the different plants and the different trees start to leaf out and flower. And here at 9,000 feet, lilacs, as of maybe yesterday, lilacs are in full bloom. So we are quite a bit behind the rest of many of our listeners. But lilacs are just starting to
bloom. And went, man. We're done. But I will tell you something real quick. So I was looking out the window before we got on, and I got this shrub. I still don't know what it is in the northwest corner of my property. I'm on an acre and a half. And the thing bloomed. I don't think it's ever bloomed since I've been here. I'm like, what is that white shrub over there? I'm like, I'm going to have to go investigate. So one of the things that you and I always talk about on a podcast is that we're always learning. And it kind of ties into what we're going to talk about tonight. It's always a learning process. And there's always some amazing things to talk about, amazing tools to use in this industry. So, yeah, I'll let you guys know eventually exactly what that plant was.
I'm curious. I actually would start shooting guesses, but of course, it'd just be guesses in the dark since we don't know. But anyhow, just like you talked about, Joe, the industry is always progressing. We can always learn something. We've got our friend Ian Hanau from Planet Geo. He's a software company based out of Arvada, Colorado. He's going to be joining us tonight. And Ian, first off, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I am excellent. It's great to be here with you guys. I think it sounds like there's some climate change going on in Joe's backyard, and plants that didn't used to flower are flowering all of a sudden.
You know what? It's interesting that you're right. Who knows? That's what's amazing about our podcast is we can kind of morph into one way or the other, but you're right. There's a lot of weird things changing in the world right now.
It might have something to do with the tarot card. Or if anybody listened to the last episode, we had some cards pulled on us, and Joe, maybe it's all connected. Maybe we got to figure it out.
Yeah. And I think, Ian, you may have a solution to help us keep it all organized.
Yeah,
well, yes, for sure. We've done a lot of neat things, but I don't think I've forecasted shrub climate change, you know, leaf out 2 weeks earlier or not yet, or not automated.
I was going to say, just let Corey and I know that we'll help you out.
Awesome, Ian. So diving right in, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Yeah, myself. So, let's see, wife and two kids, live in Colorado for over 20 years now. Avid hiker and summited all the 14ers in Colorado. That was one of my big claim to fame a bunch of years ago. I'm a forest management background with basically a GIS or geographic information systems and remote sensing degree. So really combining mapping technology with anything having to do with trees. And I really focused in urban forestry about 2006, kind of just left other things behind and focused head down on that. So, and then Planet Geo. Yeah. We're based in just outside of Denver, sort of halfway between Denver and Boulder. And, we've got a little over 30 staff. We've got people all over the US. So we've got contractor in the UK. Somewhere just under 35, I think now. So, both consulting services and software.
Fantastic. Ian, where'd you go to school?
Colorado State. Go Rams.
Clapping.
All right. Hey, you know what? We like to do that because I don't think a lot of the universities, a lot of our guests don't get an opportunity to recognize their alma mater. In today's day and age, a lot of the great forestry, urban forestry schools don't get recognized enough. So thanks. Let them know. Let them know that you're proud of what you're doing and where you got your education from.
Yeah. And they now have urban forestry classes. So my degree was, you know, very sort of traditional forest management, utilitarian, and, you know, rec based and all that. So,
well, let's talk about how you're tying your GIS, how you're tying that into forest management. Now, something I really like about Planet Geo, and we've collaborated on a few things over the years, but something I really like about Planet Geo is that one of your missions is to talk about tree value and to educate. Can you talk a little bit about what that means? How do you discuss, or how do you prove a tree's value, and then how do you get that point across?
Ooh, good one. So sort of like, how do we apply tech to management, and then where do the valuations of trees come into that? So yeah, sure. Maybe just to the first part. So yeah, we're sort of just, it's like I think of it this way, like we eat our own dog food. We use the technology that we develop for not just our clients, for them to leverage what we build, but, you know, in-house as well for our own data collection, our own studies. We write, you know, strategic management plans for cities, things like that. So, and a big part of that, yeah, in the last, oh gosh, I don't know, 15 years basically has been all the science that for about 30, 35 years that's come in between, you know, the early days of like Greg McPherson at UC Davis and whatnot, and then NOAC's work and a whole slew of other people, right? And then obviously iTree came out. And so I was one of those people that just was like automatically like already with a big wide straw drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, from like the early days. So of course trees have value. And, you know, I think the science kind of started off with like, what are the areas we really can assess, you know, all the biophysical type of stuff. And so now it's been interesting to see how that's morphed into the public health side of things and tree equity and, you know, all these new buzzwords within a set of buzzwords already. But yeah, we try to be people who are like heavy users, early adopters of those kind of tools, put them both into our software. We've put them into custom, you know, applications. We've really helped to kind of exonerate, you know, the extol is probably a better word. The benefits that trees provide, because I think people just don't realize it, right? They look for aesthetics, and, you know, we know that, we all hear that. So being able to put dollar values to things, in some respects, they shouldn't have to have a dollar value on them, but, you know, it's made major impacts in a lot of cities, you know, that have had their budgets, you know, doubled, tripled, based on these assessments to say, hey, these are green assets and they appreciate over time, you know?
How cool is it to be a part of that?
Yeah. You know, what's amazing is that tree valuation has been something that's been discussed in my 30, 40 years. And it's geographically based. You know, a white pine in Michigan may be more value than a white pine in Colorado. Where do you guys work with local agencies, such as, I think ISA just came up with a tree valuation new guide, their 14th edition or whatever. And there's a new tree valuation guide in Michigan for all the species and how to rate the value of that tree. Now, it's above and beyond timber and aesthetic values. It's actually, it would be more towards maybe a court case. And I don't want to deviate too far, but I think tree valuation is something amazing that I don't think, Corey, you and I have talked about in any of our podcasts yet. And to have that in an amazing program that you guys have designed is actually kind of piqued my curiosity, and kind of I made a note to talk to you more about that even after the podcast. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we really try. So we have about maybe 11 or 12 certified arborists now at Planet Geo. So about a third of the company. You know, we got a lot of GIS people, and we have software developers, and, you know, all that. But one of the things that I think is interesting about kind of our culture and how we interact with clients is that, you know, it's like we're subject matter experts in certain areas and we can bring that, but we also work really closely for many years, for probably, you know, 7-8 years now. I founded the company in 2012 to be humble about the fact that things are constantly changing with all the methodologies that are out there, right? So like we, I always tell people it drives our software developers crazy, where they're like, we already built the appraisal module for TreePlotter. We already built the risk assessment module. Why is there a new one? It's like, well, number one, we're going global and we got clients in the UK and Australia and wherever else. And guess what? They have their own assessment. You know, so we have to support, like, within our, it drives them nuts. Just this morning I was in a meeting and they said, there's one in the UK called Cavit. A guy named Chris Nealon has developed that. It's an appraisal valuation. And yeah, they changed part of the formula. They updated it, kind of like the 9th edition to the 10th edition here with CTLA, you know, trunk formula to trunk, what is it, the methodology and technique now that's slightly updated. Well, we as software people have like hundreds of clients who are depending on us to stay with the latest things. So like our tech people have to stay up with like the latest, you know, Google Chrome browser changes. But then on the other side of the coin, we have very interesting, like, you know, company parties, as you can imagine, the arborists and then the guys who are just seeing zeros and ones and the coding. So.
Well, I'd love to sit in one of those.
it's part of the industry, and it's part of, this is something that Joe and I have been in the industry for, you know, a few years, and this is something that we haven't heard. It makes total sense now that you're putting it out there, but we would never have been exposed to that or thought about how people are valuing trees across the world.
Well, one of the cool things too is, so kind of back to that point about the culture and the engagement with clients, so we have, I mean, probably at least a dozen clients that are ASCA members or board members. Like, they're, you know, these are heavy hitters that have been doing this 30 plus years. And so for them to come to us and say, this is the latest, you know, appraisal method or risk assessment method, or here's what's coming. I won't get into the weeds on it, but it's a lot of conversations, and we just try to absorb that and then reflect that in our products to keep up with, you know, the latest changes, because stuff changes. So when we were really hesitant, we were slow, I guess, to release the 10th edition, because it just went back and forth for quite a while, and it was, I don't know, contentious, if you will, or so.
All right. So that, you know, like I said, that was awesome. But let's go back to grassroots. You said GIS, that's your background, that's your wheelhouse, which is basically mapping.
It's computer software for mapping.
So we where Corey and I work, we're always trying, you know, mapping, you know, where's your customers and where's that. But to take that to the level to have a live mapping GIS system to where you always know where your trees are, your customers' trees are, and to be able to understand the health and all that, it's kind of mind-boggling. I don't think enough people use it.
I have certainly double downed or triple downed, if you will, the last however many years on the theory that everybody, that, like you said, Joe, that it's underutilized still. I mean, given how easy it is compared to 10 years ago, right, where you'd have to have GPS units and then create a data dictionary and then export data out of the GPS device and, you know, then do like what they call post-processing to get the locations correct. Nope. You just got a really, really high resolution, super accurate base map, you know, and you can see every tree. You can now dial it back and say, what was there 10 years ago, right? 20 years ago. We have the most interesting conversations. What would be valuable to arborists as they're doing assessments? They might want to know that, hey, 10 years ago, actually there was a driveway here and now there's not, or vice versa. So I started, the way I was able to start Planet Geo or found the company is that I fell into this area of studying tree canopy in cities. So I use my GIS and remote sensing background, and just, I couldn't believe it. It's 2006, started with City of Denver and then Seattle and whatever, you know, small cities, big cities. But I've done a couple hundred of those studies and just started to know people all across, you know, federal level, state level, local level, and then, you know, private industry and so forth, and was able to start the company primarily on that service. And then we've been able to add our field crew, our field team, writing management plans, our software and sales and marketing around the software. So.
Well, that's awesome. When we talk about GIS, how far back do you guys have data? And the reason I bring that back is I had a question the other day that, and it was a court case on on a river. Obviously, the riverbed moved. There was setback to 60 feet before you could move it, touch a tree. And they couldn't go back to the 50s or 60s when the ordinance was established. And they went to GIS mapping and went back to when the GIS, when it was written to where the trees were. And through GIS, they could tell where that stump was 60 years ago. And the trees that were removed that shouldn't have been removed, the guy got fined a ton of money, but it all came back to GIS. Do you guys have access to data that could go back that far?
Well, how do I answer that? I mean, so aerial photography is kind of like the base information, right? That you then create a GIS on top of. Like, so that's all your locations, your points and lines and polygons of everything. So we've done studies, one from city of Milwaukee, where we got lucky. We got really good photography all the way back to the 50s. And we were able to see the complete, every single decade for 6 or 7 decades, the change in canopy from Dutch elm disease and then from emerald ash borer.
Wow.
Just really, really cool kind of boutique study. But that kind of photography at that resolution that's good enough to do that doesn't exist a lot of places. So, and then, yeah, like you're talking about stream banks and such, they change all the time. So, you know, our data that we have, we're either contracted to do something, right? Or we give somebody tools and then that tool might include the historical aerial imagery for them to go and, you know, map whatever they are. But there's also pretty good, like USGS probably has really good like hydrology boundaries of, you know, channels and stuff like that.
I hope I didn't steer you down a, like the marching band down the alley where you bump into the wall. But I think that's what just shows that how amazing technology is today. And you guys are on some cutting edge opportunities to really dial in. And even if it is from, you draw a line from that line forward, it's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, there's a lot of satellite studies, you know, of changes in canopy cover, but the resolution was really coarse. And so now we've been dialing that in. And I had a call just a couple days ago with a new company I'd never even heard of. They're flying a new type of LIDAR data. They have a specialized sensor for it. And it just, there's some specifications that really change the cost and the resolution. And they were showing me what you can do now in 3D with their particular sensors, you know? So I was kind of picturing, man, our software, I'd like to just integrate with something like that sort of on the fly so that the arborist can, maybe if it's a private company, they get a phone call and they need to go check out a tree, right? Well, can you imagine just like clicking on a dot and then, like, you know, you can pull up Street View, Google Street View, super easy, right? For anywhere. But can you imagine being able to like take their data for a single tree, just pull it off the shelf and in the web browser and just be like, I can see three-dimensionally all the information about this tree. And you can know how old that data was from. Is that a year ago? Is that 5 years ago? So take your comment, Joe, fast forward like 30 years or whatever. Well, all this data we have now is going to be able to answer those kind of questions like you're talking about. So there'll be no hiding.
You're going to be able to, what, Corey, you could stop me from, because my brain's racing.
Yeah.
With this data, you talked about LIDAR imaging and spectral imaging and all this different lights. You're going to be able to, in the future, predict insects and disease issues above and beyond. So if you can check an aerial satellite from space, so we know what a city can GPS. So a city says, hey, I want to know what my trees are for planting. But even from that imagery that we're talking about and the advancement in technology, you'd even know what's in the backyard of a homeowner. By specific light. So you'd be like, oh my God. So a new insect on the horizon, a spotted lanternfly, that is the Atlantis tree, the tree of heaven. Mm-hmm. Your software could be like, well, this is where they're at.
Yeah. Even in 2008, I did two studies, one with Milwaukee and one with Oakville, Ontario. And we were using what's called hyperspectral imagery. And it's pretty expensive. You know, it's kind of like the first DVD player you bought that's like $1,000 or something, right? So, you know, I kind of backed off of it for a little while because I was waiting for some of these planes and sensors to become more common and the cost can come down. Kind of like that LIDAR example, you know, if they can fly higher and blah, 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 right? They can bring the cost down. But anyway, it worked very, very well. I think we had something like 93% accuracy of all large trees, public and private property in the city.
Wow.
Yeah, for one species of tree. You know, so
that's incredible.
And that, yeah, that was what, geez, 13 years ago. So, you know, all that is out there. There, these sensors, both on the ground and up above, are going to start doing more and more things. There's, and just the availability of data. Like one of our coolest partnerships this year is with a company called Earth Define. And we've got this exclusive agreement with them where basically they've mapped tree canopy cover in every city of the entire, in fact, every square inch of the whole lower 48 states. And so now we are promoting cities to be able to do their canopy cover analysis and change analysis. We literally have it on the shelf. So like we've got every single city across the entire country and town. We could literally like show them what their canopy is now, what it was 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago. It's really, I mean, I've been doing this a long time and even I'm super excited about it.
This blows my mind because when you said DVD player and then you went into this, like this is on the edge. Like for, like this is crypto, this is tech, this is, where do you think that this is going to go? I mean, it sounds like whoever has access to data, whoever's got the most accurate data, whoever can make it user friendly and push it out to market, like they have a real advantage. Where does Planet Geo, without giving away anything proprietary, where does Planet Geo, where do you think this is going to go?
Without giving away anything.
Nothing proprietary that you're not comfortable with.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, to one of Joe's points earlier, I mean, we want more communities to even be using the basics of good standard technology, right? So let's just start there. There's kind of low-hanging fruit, you know? Let's get more communities having access to data. Back to your question, Corey, having a value on their trees, right? There's almost no excuse to not have that these days in terms of all the tools that are available and the data sets and the imagery. So, you know, we want to stay at that edge, but we always want to be driving value. I mean, if we're we do like tinkering. We had like a beta version of an augmented reality app where you could hold up the phone and like you could just be looking at trees, but as long as they were mapped in our software, they were talking to each other through the cloud, you know, and it was just awesome, right? But we haven't taken it any further because I don't know, we're still trying to grow and figure out what product sort of set of options we should really, really invest in, you know. But there's just so many cool things like that. So I'd like to, I kind of see us as this as an entity that's big enough now and tech focused in urban forestry and arboriculture to be at like the forefront with other companies who are maybe just one, two, three people, right? And they've got their one technology. So really good example. We had our highest webinar attendance about a month and a half ago on a webinar about tree radar. So I run, I created our international software reseller program. So we've got resellers in about 9 countries around the world now. One of them is down in South America in Uruguay. And he works with the ground penetrating radar, and he's really helping to, you know, get that technology more recognized. So if you didn't see it, it was about 6 or 8 weeks ago. We had like 250 people sign up for it, which just I think really showed, you know, how much interest there is in some of these new technologies. So where we're talking is how does that technology talk to our technology, right? So then, yeah, you know, wow, you can have all of it in one. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, you just like, hey, show me the trees in the cities that we've got the ground penetrating radar for, and you know, what's their, you know, root density look like, and the sidewalk impacts, and you know, so that's where I see us going, is always being a group that people want to come to and say, I've got something cool and innovative. Maybe if we latch on together, you know, we can do bigger things, better, faster.
Yeah, what caught my ear right there is that you talk about the below grade the imagery. I'm not talking about root density. I'm talking about underground utilities. Having a mapping technique for underground utilities that we can't find the old blueprints for, that you guys could create it. And now we have a tool that we can find it. So that's pretty amazing. It shows value that how exciting this industry and how young it really is.
And it's all connected. It's all connected.
Yeah. Well, think of it this way too. Like, we are a very tiny part of the world overall that's going on, right? We don't like to think of it that way, but think about all the other technologies that the utilities industry are doing. Or, you know, like we did a pilot project this year where these vehicles had driven what they call ground-based LIDAR, terrestrial LIDAR. Sometimes they just call it mobile scanning, right? So it's a point cloud, but from vehicles. And we had our arborists look at the data and say, you know, can we do species identification from this? So my point is that there's these companies that have nothing to do with us who are driving streets, and guess what are adjacent to streets? Trees, right? So all this data is getting created, and I kind of want to just go to like 10 conferences that have nothing to do with trees and just geek out on all the things that people are doing, because there's all kinds of data we're not even seeing. So
very cool.
Cool and scary, right?
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking about, you know, the windshield survey, if there's as a monitor on his truck, as long as that city employee is driving around. That, you know, you got the 3D scanners that you can scan a building and it takes all the points and you can actually do a CAD/CAM drawing on a building.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because we can identify tree by structure. So if this guy's just driving around all day and you leave it on 24/7, if that company, that city truck's driving, it's collecting data. And you'd had a 3D tree inventory of the city because he's driving around, you're going to catch a few guys obviously sleeping in an alley or something, but as long as that vehicle's moving, he's recording data. That would be pretty sweet.
I had a conversation a while ago that kind of blew my mind, and it was basically about the location of our cell phones, our smartphones. And if somebody wants to sign up for this, anywhere you go throughout the course of the year, it is, you know, tracked to some level of accuracy, right? And basically they could overlay this with all the natural areas of a city. The sort of, you know, green areas, parks, open space, whatever it might be. So you would literally create an indicator of how you spend your time and how much exposure and access to nature that you get. And they were doing this like with a bunch of overlays, and it's not complicated, but the idea was just really cool. So
revolutionary.
And I like, if it's not my idea, I like to think about it. And, you know, how does this benefit our clients? You know, because we've got like such a diverse range of clients, which is kind of an interesting thing. It's a challenge, but it's a fun challenge. You know, we've got,
you know what, Ian,
campuses and then tree care companies, and you know, you name it.
It shows the municipality the value of the parks, so the city council can donate more money for park maintenance, because you can show that how many people from that area go to that site. So it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
And Ian, as we're kind of dialing this in and bringing this episode to a conclusion, 2 points. One, is there anything that you would like to push or like to put out to people? But also really important is, please let people, and maybe you want to do this first, please let people know how they can find Planet Geo, how they can reach you or find out more about your company.
Yeah, you bet. So website is just planitgeo. So that's planitgeo.com. You learn everything about our, you know, consulting services as well as our software products. So we actually have 4 software products now. And then just to reach me, you can go on LinkedIn, look up my name. That's easy. I like to stay engaged with lots of people and see who's chattering, and, you know, hopefully provide some quality comments and whatnot, create dialogue. You know, following Planet Geo on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and so forth. But what else? Probably one of the big things that we're doing this summer, we're going to be working with like a sort of a smaller user group around our newest of the 4 Tree Plotter products. And that's called Tree Plotter Jobs. So that's definitely much more in the private tree care business. So it's the short story is that we've been really good and strong on the GIS side, as well as, like I said earlier, all those methodologies for risk assessment or appraisals, right? But what we were missing is applying all that innovation and technology, right, to just the business operations and getting people off of paper, not using Excel or like their Gmail calendar to run their whole business. And so, yeah, we've got a pretty good end-to-end product that we're just about to roll out. And it allows the admins at the office to say, got a call and they want us to come check out their trees. You can still do some mapping. You can create your own pricing catalog. So it could be PHC related. It could be fixed or variable. It connects to QuickBooks so that, like, I mean, it's a full end to end, right? Because all before we were so heavy on the visualization and the mapping, you know, but we really wanted something that took those business tools and connected it. So if you know anybody in that, like, I don't know, 2 to 3, like in terms of size, like 2 or 3 crews at their company, I think that's a perfect fit for like July and August that we want to be giving them, you know, access to the software and starting to run their business, and they can send electronic estimates to their clients and get approval. So that's one of our biggest new things.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, thank you so much, Ian. Really, that's, man, what you guys are doing and kind of how you're progressing this industry and trying to help. Like, that's what you guys are ultimately doing, is you're trying to help. You're helping the canopy, you're helping people, you're helping municipalities, now businesses. That's awesome. Thank you for doing what you're doing, Ian.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
One last thing is that, now obviously we talked about urban forestry, arboriculture. What about U.S. Forest Service and the State Forestry? Do you guys do much with them, and would it be worthwhile them guys giving you a buzz too?
We do a fair bit, yeah. We certainly could do more. I know some folks at the Forest Service in California were using our risk assessment, ISA track risk assessment, part of Tree Plotter. They jumped on board about a year ago. We do quite a bit more with state level for sure. We've got 9 or 10 states where they have all of their city's tree inventory in a single web application, so they can kind of look at it from like a state level. So we've got, I think, about 10 states now that have that, which is really cool.
That's awesome. So thank you for the time tonight. And
thank you guys for doing this. I think it's awesome to have the consistency and just the energy that you guys bring to this. So very much appreciate the invite and to contribute.
Awesome. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
All right, gents.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, so lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.